I'll call it an activation, but I want to focus some on, I'm not leaving Romans. If I just stay in Romans and do that, I'll be there for a long time, but Lord stirred my heart through some different people and from just my own prayer life to speak some over the next several weeks, and I'm going to rotate it in and out, but on some foundational things. And when I say foundational, I mean foundational things for a spirit-filled believer, spiritual foundations. And I think Psalm says, if the righteous or if the foundation are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And I'll never forget when I was in Bible school, there's we called them the trailer estates. And so some people would live there in the school, and then we had some trailer homes. And so my wife and I got married. We lived in called the trailer estates, and there were trailers where people lived, you know, families and staff and things like that. And there was a nice one, and it just crumbled because the foundation, they found out it was built on garbage. And there was like a big landfill or dump or whatever, and they built it on that. And I think that's such a beautiful picture. When we build on faulty foundations, sometimes we can grow in ways that aren't productive. And I might be growing, but I might be growing curved over here rather than straight. And I always look for alignment in someone. And so I want to focus some on things. Reinhard Bonnke made the statement, and I'm going to refer to it a few other times, but he says that spiritual gifts or spiritual giftings, he says, they're not badges of honor, but tools for the job. They're not badges of honor, but they're tools for the job. And I want to speak some about praying in tongues. And I've done that a few times here, and we need to do it again. We're going to have a time of prayer afterwards, and Pete's going to help me. I've asked Pete to help me. For those of you who don't pray in tongues or the Spirit, and I want to just give a brief teaching. I have 30 minutes a week, and I was talking to someone recently. There's so many things in the Bible to teach. Yes. There's so many things to teach. And I just can't do everything once a week. And pray for me. I'll be full-time soon. I can do more teachings and things like that and have more time available. But this is something, it's very important if you don't pray in tongues or if you do, to understand the purpose for it and the basic principles of why it's important. And as Reinhard Bonnke said, it's not, one thing that grieves me when I hear people say, well, I pray in tongues, so I'm Pentecostal. One, praying in tongues is not necessarily the mark of a spirit-filled life. And there's people who pray in tongues who I would have a hard time knowing if they're Christians or not. The mark of a spiritual life is the fruit of the Spirit. But if I just say, oh, I pray in tongues and I believe in it and I never use it and I don't know what the Bible says about it, then it's just a badge that I wear. It's not a tool for the job, right? And so it's very important that I say, you know, there's things the Lord's given us and there's so many. But this is a principle thing. I've heard someone say, too, on the other extreme, well, praying in tongues, that's the most basic gift. Well, if I can't do that and if I can't understand that, why do I worry about raising the dead and healing the sick and things like that if you can't take care of the least of these? And so Paul said, I thank God that I pray in tongues more than you all. And so Paul, who the Lord entrusted to write half the New Testament, and a man that the Holy Spirit recorded for all these words, he says, I pray in tongues more than you all. That means I should give some heed to it, right?
Amen.
And he also says, follow me as I follow Christ in his writing to the church. Okay, he says to Timothy, the Lord give me as an example, the pattern of my life. And so praying in tongues is not just something I can say, well, I pray in tongues, I'm a Pentecostal, praise the Lord. Well, amen for that, yes. But it's a lifestyle and something that I can be aware of in my life. It is a tool, and it's very, very helpful in my walk with God. Amen? And so I want to just say a few things about it in our personal life. I also want to do something when I talk about praying in tongues in a corporate setting, because that's needed as well. And I haven't done that as much as I should, but there's also a corporate aspect to praying in tongues, and there's a biblical way to do that, which I want to talk about. So I'm going to basically look at two chapters. Well, let me read Romans. I have several chapters, but there's two primary chapters I'm going to use, and it's 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 14. But I'm just, as you turn there, I'm going to read in Romans, because I am in Romans. So Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 26 through 27. And just listen to this. It says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." There's a guy who's at, I think he's actually Assemblies of God minister back in the early 1900s. And I've heard other people say this as well. That word actually means there, when it talks about groanings, it means an articulate language. Okay? And so the Lord can speak some, and I'm going to come back to this passage later. Inarticulate language, and the Holy Spirit who's within us can make intercessions, and we'll come back to this more later. But there's times I don't quite know what to pray for. I don't quite know how to pray for what I have. And it's where tongues, it's where a burden for tongues will come in. But Jesus told them in Mark, just a quick backdrop, I'm going to give you some principles, we're going to have a prayer time. He said, "These things will follow those who believe. They will pray in new tongues." Matthew chapter 16. So if you believe in Jesus, he's your Savior and Lord, that's one of the things that should follow you, is praying in tongues. Amen? Okay? And Luke, the great physician, Dr. Luke, he ends his epistle, or he ends his gospel, which all of them end differently, but he says the last words of Jesus, he says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." So Luke's last words Jesus gave was, "Wait until you're endued with power. It's to your benefit that I go away." And if you read, who wrote the book of Acts? Luke. So when Luke finishes it, he goes on and he talks, and he used the words of Jesus again. It says, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And he goes on in verse 8, he says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And then we see in chapter 2 in Acts where that happens. And he says in verse 4, "And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Real quick point on that. When you pray in tongues, and I'm going to say this again at the end, some people have wrong concepts. Praying in tongues is not, I just lose control of myself and I just start blurting out tongues. It's also not, I'm just going to make up something in my mind. They prayed as the Spirit gave utterance. And so if I'm filled with the Spirit and the Spirit is praying through me, when I pray into the Spirit, I'm going to talk more about this later, I don't always feel it, but sometimes when I do it, your spirit man's in here, right? You're born again, your spirit's alive. Your spirit is strengthening the Lord, you can sense that Spirit. And so when I pray, it means the Holy Spirit's giving me utterance, but I'm the one who's speaking. It's cooperation with the Holy Spirit like everything we do. Amen? So it's not just the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. And so I usually struggle when someone says, "Well, I just can't help that just happened." Well, not necessarily. The Lord's going to put something in you and He gives you the freedom to either act or not act. I could have the Holy Spirit rumbling in me, someone praying for me, and I keep my mouth closed. Holy Spirit's doing His job, I'm not doing my job, right?
Amen.
Okay? And so there, it's a partnership there. And so I want to just briefly give you some biblical things. I'm going to talk a little bit about prayer and tongues in a corporate setting, but primarily principles in our private life. Amen? And we don't hear this enough, and I wish I could teach on it more, and I don't. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul's talking about the gifts of the Spirit. He says, "The manifestation of the Spirit is given to one for the profit of all." And so the nine spiritual gifts there, why do we have the gifts of the Spirit? And Paul's talking to them, it's not for my own sake, it's for the edification of the body of Christ, right? It's for the profit of all. It's not so I can have a ministry, it's not so I can have a platform, it's not so you can say, "Look at me, I'm special." It's for the profit and the benefit of those I'm in a meeting with, or that those that I'm in a relationship with.
Amen.
If I lay hands on the sick and see them recovered, it's not so I can thump my chest and say, "Look what I just did."
Amen.
It's really that the Lord would be glorified and this guy who was lame would be made free. Same thing for tongues. And so he talks in here about tongues and to another different types of tongues, and to one the interpretation of tongues. And he goes on and says, "Do all pray in tongues?" And that's rhetorically. Which is no, but that's speaking of the gift of tongues. And so if you're some of, I should assume nothing. Some of us in the meeting, when I was in Bible school, we had a guy, and I loved him, Samson. I mentioned him before, he's from Ghana. Really, just a tiny guy, just the most, one of the most humble men I've ever met in my life. And I remember being in class, it was prayer class with him. And I'll never forget it, because he would always, it was one of his gift sets that he had, is that he would do tongues and interpretation. And he would, when he would belt out in tongues, the first time he did it, everyone in the class, like, wait, it's just because the small little man, but he would blow the roof off. But he would always give an interpretation and in a very gentle language. And so if some of you, if you, in different meetings, in different churches, the gift of tongues can be, I pray, as a message in tongues that happens, almost like a prophetic thing. And then there's an interpretation for that. However, Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians 14, which is what I'm going to talk about, and he says this in verse 2, "For he who speaks in tongues does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries." Okay? And he goes on and says in verse 39, "Do not forbid to speak with tongues."
Amen.
Real quick, we could have a lot of fun giving all the doctrinal things of why it's for today. But I always say this when people say, well, tongues will cease in chapter 13. If tongues will cease in 13, then knowledge also has to cease.
Amen.
Read it. When that which is perfect is come. And I believe that's when we shall see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. At the coming of Christ, there's no need for that. A perfect communion with him, okay? So I always struggle. If tongues will cease, then that means I'm not... The scripture also says I have to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord. And I don't want to go on a rabbit trail with that, but... No one's ever explained to me why we can't pray in tongues, but I can grow in knowledge based on 1 Corinthians 13. Just a rabbit trail. Maybe someone needed that because I don't want to go down that road. But in chapter 14, he's speaking of it, of tongues. Basically, it's for my life. And Paul said, "I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all." I don't think that meant he said, "I pray and I get more messages in tongues in corporate meetings than everyone else." 1 Corinthians 14:8. I think it means throughout my day-to-day life, I pray in tongues. I commune with the Lord in tongues. I speak in tongues. It's a part of my daily life. I might do it in a meeting, but if you think of us, if we're in a corporate setting, I mean, some of us are in corporate meetings at church 4 hours a month, some 2 hours a month, some more than that. So if I do it, most of my time is going to be spent at home with my family. It's going to be me on the job. It's going to be in the car. All the different places where I can commune with the Lord by praying in the Spirit. So I thank the Lord that I pray in tongues more than you all. Not just when I come in here in church, but when I'm going to talk about that in a minute, but in my personal life, okay? So I want to give a few just practical principles for you who do pray in the Spirit. And I would say if you have your prayer language, don't put it up on the shelf.
Amen.
Okay, you use it and you activate it. And so in 1 Corinthians 14, 2, it says, "For he who speaks in tongues does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries." Another Moffat's translation says it speaks divine mysteries or divine secrets. Someone told me one time, and I need to talk to them about it. They said, "I pray in the Spirit, but I don't pray in the Spirit because I don't know what I'm saying." You're not going to understand what you're saying, right? Let me go back to my passage in Romans when Paul was writing about this. He said, "The Spirit makes intercession for us with saints according to the will of God." When I pray in the Spirit, God is Spirit. Those who worship Him must worship Him in what? Spirit and in truth. Someone who was a preacher, is a brilliant man, is a doctor, brilliant theologian. He made a statement. He said, "Your mind is the dumbest thing you have." And there's times when Paul says this too in this chapter in 14 or 15. "I will pray with the Spirit. I will also pray with understanding." So if I'm only praying with understanding, I'm doing 50% right. That means to me that there's times in my life where I don't have the answers to something. Don't know how to pray for it. I don't know the direction. You know what I do? And there's a guy, Dr. Cho. He's pastor of the largest church in the world in South Korea. And there's a story about him. And he was at a meeting and there's a conference somewhere. And the meeting went long. They got done about 2 o'clock, and they said, well, come on, let's go get some lunch before the meeting tonight. He said, what time is it? So it's 2 o'clock. He said, oh, no, the meeting's at 7. I need time to pray in tongues. And sometimes when I do this, just so you see, I have kids to watch on the fun stage. Sometimes I'm in a corporate meeting at church, and I can't engage my mind with what's going on. I just can't do it. So I have to pray in the spirit. Chasing him, changing his diaper down there. Back down there. There's things I have to do at times to keep myself engaged. I had the privilege of ministering at a different place about a month ago. So what I did, the whole drive there, not whole drive, but a lot of the way, and I kind of got lost and I was trying to figure out where I was, by praying the Spirit. Praying the Spirit. In my mind, I can't figure everything out, but my spirit's communing with the Lord. And oftentimes what happens is the Lord will start to drop things in my spirit. Those who worship Him in spirit and in truth. So if God's given me a prayer language to pray in the Spirit, and He wants to commune with me in the Spirit, sometimes there's things I'm not going to get in my mind. You know, there's a situation in my family. I don't know how to resolve this. Let me go pray in the Spirit. It's the challenge. Take 10 minutes if you don't know something's going on with someone. Lord, I'm going to pray for this person for 10 minutes in the Spirit today. I don't know how to pray for it. Holy Spirit, you do. You're inside of me. You make intercession for us, as Romans says, Hebrews says it as well. He ever lives to make intercession for us, Jesus. So the Spirit of God within me. Holy Spirit, I don't know how to pray. But just, and I start praying in tongues and releasing it. I don't have to do it out loud for everyone to hear. You don't have to know that I'm doing it. There's a story in Nehemiah. And when Nehemiah was, he was solemn and he was, what was going on, and the king called him before. He was afraid, you know, if he knows I'm upset, he's going to have me put to death. And I think it's chapter 4. I don't know where it is to find it. But in the middle of that conversation, it says, and Nehemiah prayed to the Lord. But I don't think he said, well, you know, and I'm not saying he's praying in the Spirit. I think it's a picture of us as New Covenant believers. I don't think he said, King, let me go fast and pray for 7 days and I'll get back with you. I think he was in a state of communion with the Lord. Yes. And sometimes even, I've had this in my own life, if someone wants to talk to me about something, I don't know what to say. They're talking to me and I'm praying in the Spirit to myself. Mm-hmm. Praying in the Spirit to myself. Holy Spirit, I don't have the answer for this person. I don't know what to say. I pray in the Spirit. They don't know that. But in my spirit, I'm praying. I'm communing with the Lord. Amen? And it's a way to commune with Him. So it's not a... this might be for someone. It's not a spooky thing. It's not a weird thing. It's a beautiful thing. It's a way to communicate with the Lord. And it says, my mind is unfruitful. Let me say this in verse 14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. So if James comes up to me and says, let's talk about something, it's going to be hard for me to be talking to God in words, understanding, and listening to Him at the same time. It's engaging my mind. But my mind can be engaged with Him and my spirit communing with God at the same time. My mind might be unfruitful, but my spirit's engaged. Right? It's a wonderful tool. Again, it's not a badge of honor. It's a tool to make us walk in the Spirit. Okay? It also says this in verse 4. It says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Jude 20, verse 20, there's one chapter in Jude. It says this. It says, building yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. How do you build a strong spirit? Pray in the Spirit. If I have a muscle, I go to the gym on Fridays, and I've just started running on the track, on the treadmill again. I've done something to my knee, and it's doing well now, but if I never exercise a certain muscle of my body, it's going to atrophy, right? How do I go in and build it up? I have to work it out. And the word edify in original Greek actually means to charge. And so my phone, you can see this poor battery thing I've had for 4 years and it's crushed. Everyone who sees me says, you need a new phone, and I do. I never used to have to charge as much. I have to charge it all the time now to keep it running. You need to charge your spiritual batteries. Simple way, a tool to do that. Pray in the tongue, pray in the Spirit. You pray in tongues. It builds you up. There's an exercise, and I started doing this, and it's really hard. Ashley, it's a lot harder than it sounds. But I would encourage you to take 10 minutes. Find somewhere where you're alone and pray in tongues out loud. After 1 minute, you're going to think it's 10. It's an exercise. It's an exercise. Sometimes we just do it. Love building myself up, just like I'm running on the treadmill. I'm trying to build my endurance back up. And the Spirit is the same way. I'm building, I'm charging up my spirit, man. And if you ever want to do something, this works. At least it works for me. If you want to pray for someone, just start praying in the Spirit when you're there with them. And it does something. You feel strong. It just builds you up. My pastor used to say, I'm going to run through a troop and leap over a wall, as they say in Psalms. And that's one thing that can build you up. I came in here a couple weeks ago, and I spent a while doing that. Just me, Wilbur was in the back. I didn't mind him being back there in the back. And I was just going to work, going to town in here, praying out loud in tongues. Just me in here. And I told my wife, I can't say, I feel like I've taken a shower, spiritually speaking. Felt so clean and so good. I'm building up my spirit. Amen?
Amen.
It also gives you, one thing I find, it can give you struggling and lacking with my desire. Pray in the Spirit 10 minutes a day. And it kind of builds up a desire for God. Amen? Again, praying in tongues is not just that's a weird thing. And let me say this. Thank you, Lord, for our mothers and spiritual pioneers in the faith. Because, and it still is to some degree, but the 1900s, at the turn of the century, Azusa Street, praying in tongues was really, you were completely considered a buffoon. And they pressed through, and they persevered, and said, I don't care what you think. This is something that we have for the church. So thank the Lord for that. The Lord raises up people sometimes who seem odd, and they seem different. And if that's you for some reason, then keep pressing in. Because oftentimes the Lord will give those people aspects and elements of truth. And don't just shun those folks. Maybe they're strong in a certain area because the Lord wants to bring it out, you know? I always said Smith Wigglesworth was considered by many to be a heretic in his day. Today we celebrate the guy. Look at all the healings he had, you know, but he really went through it. A lot of persecution back in the day because he took a stand for biblical truth. Amen?
Amen?
And so, it's a wonderful thing that the Lord's given us. It's to your advantage that I go to the Father, right? Why is that? I have the Holy Spirit within me and upon me. Amen? Okay, so I'm building a strong spirit. Stimulates our faith. I'll say this too. There's a Kenneth Hagin made this statement. He said in his own ministry, he said some of the greatest things I've seen in my ministry came after an extended time of praying in tongues. And I'm saying there's other people as well that you know that's just a part of their life. They pray in tongues. They don't put it on the shelf. Okay. It's also for blessing and thanking God. In Acts chapter 10, don't turn there, just listen. Acts chapter 10, verse 45 through 46. Verse 46, and this was when the Gentiles, when Peter went to the Gentiles. I think my son wants to preach this morning. I named him Evan after Evan Roberts, by the way. I helped to do that. Evan Roberts was the Welsh revivalist. And someone else told me when he was a baby. So I think, well, Evan's going to be a preacher one day. So, amen. Verse 46, he says, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Okay? It says there again in in chapter 14, he says, I will pray with the Spirit, also pray with understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with understanding. Okay? It says this too in verse 2, or verse 16, if you bless with the Spirit, how will others say amen at your giving of thanks? Okay? I can bless, I can thank, I can worship God by singing in the Spirit.
Amen.
And I'm going to talk about that in a corporate setting in a minute because there is good protocol for that. If you're like me, sometimes I have a hard time finding worship songs. Grace Thy Faithfulness is one I love. I have a hard time sometimes finding worship songs that really express my heart. I just do. And sometimes so I pray in tongues or sing in tongues to God. So again, if I'm only praying with my understanding, I'm doing half of it. I also sing in the Spirit as well. Speaking of the Azusa Street Revival, one thing that marked that was praying, singing in the Spirit. Okay? can bless and I can thank God in the Spirit. One thing I found, and the Lord let me have this week in a way I've never had it before. When you pray in the Spirit, and I said, Lord, I want to just honor you and thank you and bless you and tell you, great, you are faithful. You are amazing. And I just do it in the Spirit. I had this week it came alive to me in a way it hasn't before, probably because I was going to preach on it. But it brought me in such a realm of intimacy with God from praying in the Spirit that I've never had before. And it gave me such an awareness of God. And if you're on the job, by the way, let me say this. I'm talking to some guys, and it's true. It can be hard to maintain a awareness of God on the job. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It can be really tough to do that. And your mind is going to be engaged in your work and things. It can be tough to be engaged with God in the car on the way to work. Again, 98% of our tongues is outside of the church, where we live. It's reality. And one thing I've found, I did it this week, you're in the car and road rage says, why'd you do it? You start praying in tongues. Instead of blessing God, I say, bless you and keep you in the name of Jesus because you're praying in tongues. Well, my point is it keeps an awareness of God within you. And I'm able to bless him because I'm communing with God. Your boss does something that drives you up the wall. It's a lot easier for me to pray with him when I'm aware, oh Lord, okay, I better guard my heart. Amen? I tell on myself, it's part of my job as pastor. I'm on the phone a lot. And I call insurance companies. And my boss said this, and it's true. She said, 90% of the time they have no idea what they're talking about when you call. A lot of times that's true. And I'm never mean to them, but I can be sometimes I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but I need this paid. I have to get claims paid or I have to answer. And sometimes the Lord will check my heart. You need to be nice to them. You need to be nice to them. Watch your tone of voice with them. I started it this week and I was praying in tongues. They immediately just stopped me. Okay. Love this book, you know. My point in saying all that, take it with you everywhere you go. It's hard to walk with God on the job. Practice. Lord, Holy Spirit, remind me when I go into work today, every hour, set an alarm on your clock. Here's a guy who had a rubber band on him, and every time he looked over, he would pray. I'm going to pray, worship, or do something. Pray in the Spirit. Just keeps you in communion with him. Amen?
Amen.
It's a simple, easy way to do it. Pray in the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. I might not be able to talk, but I'm going to pray in my Spirit. Thank you, Lord. I love you. You're good. You're good. Amen. And verse... two more things. One more thing, and then I'm going to talk about courtesy in a public meeting. Praying in tongues is also good for spiritual warfare. It really is. And if you look in Ephesians, the spiritual warfare chapter, it says this. It says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. There's a song years ago, I've mentioned it here, Morningstar, Don Potter had it, but it was, we serve a great big God and a little bitty devil. Mm-hmm. And I like to focus on the great big God, and I don't like to magnify the enemy. But we do, it says in Peter, the enemy walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And we all do live in a supernatural world, in a supernatural realm. And it talks about here about quenching the fiery darts. In verse 16, it says this, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you may be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. So if I look at that, and the enemy is shooting fiery darts, okay? You live in a supernatural world. You live in a spiritual realm. We wrestle not with flesh and blood. That's one thing, too, when you keep in mind, when you watch that guy on TV who's doing something, you know, it's not really that person. It's the spirit operating in them. Something I do... If I find someone I really just gets my blood to boil, I'll go like to Wikipedia and I'll read about them as a person. And it gives me a different, it lets me see them as a person. It helps me understand them as a person, pray for them as a person, and realize that what I don't like about them is probably something that's supernaturally charged. And I'm wrestling not with flesh and blood, but I can pray about that. But he goes on in verse 7 and 18, it says, praying always, it's a continuation, not a stopping point, continuation. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So what's a way to quench the fiery darts? Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water.
Amen.
This he spoke of the Holy Spirit in me would give. Water puts out fire, right? So if I've got the enemy shooting fiery darts, out of my belly shall flow rivers of living water. And pray in the Spirit, and it quenches the fiery darts that are being shot at me or being shot at my family. And so sometimes, especially in the realm of spiritual warfare, again, I do this for this church. It's part of my job. It's part of the weight that falls on me while I'm here. And I will also walk around. I'll do spiritual warfare by praying in the tongues over this church. It's what I do. I don't know how to pray over those things. I don't know it. But the Holy Spirit within me does, and I pray in the Spirit and quench the fiery darts. So sometimes if there's something going on in your family, there's a trial, there's a tribulation, there's something happening, I'm going to commit 10 minutes today. I'm going to pray in tongues over that issue and quench the fiery darts of the enemy. Amen?
Amen.
It's a practical tool. Again, not some spooky thing. Not some weird thing. It's amen, thank you. It's a foundational thing in our spiritual walk. It's a tool that we all need to have. Amen?
Amen.
And it's a blessing. Okay? And let me end with this. And I'm going to end with this. Then we're going to have a time. And what I'm going to do, let me just get to my last part. Being considerate with others and praying tongues. And it says in chapter 14, verse 12, let it be done for the edification that you seek to excel. In 28, it says, if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent, speaking with himself and God. One reason I love church is because it's corporate. And it's a great expression of how to show love to people. Yeah. And one of the ways I can show love and I can show honor to people is honoring them by how I am in a church. And if every gift, and let me say this, by the way, speaking in tongues is one gift we have that edifies us, okay? But if I'm in a church setting, and everyone needs to hear that, and I might have to repeat this some more, it's a very practical expression of loving others when I'm not going to use my freedom to distract other people. Amen?
Amen.
If I'm in a... You look at it like this. Mike Bickle said this, and I like the expression. A church... We always say, church is not a building, it's a people, and it's true. We meet in the buildings. It's a lot better than meeting outside under the tree. Okay? So we meet in a building and we're people, and I say, Jesus is king of this church, it's his church. But we're also a people. And if I look at this like a home, it's like a living room. And so one thing my kids do right now, Evan and Anna especially, and I love having a family because you have to learn to live with people.
Amen.
When I got married, I'm the youngest in my family, and everyone was out of the house in college when I was in seventh grade. So in some respects, I grew up as an only child. 7th grade on through high school. And so I get married and I have to share a sink or shower. And I don't want to do that. But you learn to show love to your spouse by honoring them and being aware of their needs just as much as mine.
Amen.
And sometimes when I come into a church and anytime we're in any setting, any group of people, any number of people, when you come in, you're going to have a group of people. Some are going to be on fire. Someone's going to be down about something. Something happened this week. Someone's going to have a weight on them. Someone's going to have something they want to share. But you have to keep in mind everyone when you come in a group. And if I'm going to do something out loud in some respects, it needs to be something that can edify and enhance someone else in love. I've been in meetings before, and all I want to do is just worship the lover of my soul. And it's not fun when you're doing that and someone's going... Here's a good way to put it. If I'm in a meeting and everyone's at a level 5 in volume, it's not my job to by myself go to level 8 in volume. It distracts everyone else from Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And then I just want to worship the Lord and I can't. Now, if everyone's at 8, then you go for it. There's times here in our worship meetings and a corporate gathering where the Lord really starts to move, and they're spontaneous. And those times, those settings, man, you go for it with all you've got. But if it's a lull, that's not the time for you to go to level 8. That's the time for you to be, if I want to pray in the Spirit, I can do it quietly just as much as I can out loud. Amen?
Amen.
Because I say, you know what, maybe the guy over there really needs to meet with the Lord. Maybe they're in a place right now that's tender. And if I blow them out of the building, it's going to distract. And it takes the eyes off the Lord and puts it onto me. Again, gifts are not for me to stick my chest out. Gifts to honor Christ and edify the body of Christ.
Amen.
So everything you do, and Paul did this with the Corinthians, if you have a gift, seek to use it so I can build up Jim. Not so I can show Jim, watch me. Amen? That's a good, I'm not saying that to anyone in here. I'm just saying it to us as a whole. I say it to myself as well. And so it's a good principle. I have something I want to say. I wrote down. I think I said all I'm going to say with that. But I need to say that again. Always be alert and aware. When Paul said, I pray in tongues more than y'all, it's not that I do it more than anyone else in a public meeting. Let me find this passage. He says in a meeting, he would rather speak two words, rather speak prophecy. So if I pray in tongues really loud, and if I have a just bubbling up within me, and it's going to take away from the attention of the Lord, keep it to yourself, bottom line. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I want to do something, and I have some music for Go to put on later, and I'm going to dismiss everyone if you want to be dismissed. I love to pray for people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I love to do it. And I like to do it in a certain way that works for me. And sometimes it's not easy when all eyes are on you. And so some of you in here, you've never spoken in other tongues. For those of you who do, by the way, and let's say you put it on the shelf, I just want to challenge you, take 10 minutes a day just to pray in the Spirit and build up that muscle in you again. Okay, so that's a challenge to you. But for those of you in here who've never prayed in tongues, you've never prayed in the Spirit, it's the birthright of every believer. I want to pray with you this morning if you want to. And so Peter's going to help me. And it's going to be an environment I don't like doing. Did you get it? It's a soft thing, okay? It's not a weird, spooky thing, okay? It's not. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Spirit of God within you wants to bubble up and give you your prayer language. And so if you've never prayed in other tongues and you want to pray in other tongues, I'm going to be up here for a while. Take as much time with you as you need or as much time as you don't want. But I'm going to be honoring you as a person and pray with you. I have results doing it my way, so I'm going to stick with my way of doing it. And so if you want to, as I close in prayer, just make that decision in your heart. And it's an exciting thing, and it's a good thing. I remember when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I'll say this, I did it when I was a little kid, and I'm grateful for it, because it just would have, the older you get, sometimes it can play games with your mind. But I did as a child, I'll never forget, and I spent the whole day praying in tongues as a little kid. I didn't always keep up with that, but that's when I did, and it's changed my life. It has. It's, like I said, it's a tool. I commune with God that way. I pray that way. I build up my spirit man that way. I do spiritual warfare that way. It's a tool. I can be talking to someone, like I said, and not have the answer. My mind's engaged with my spirit's communing with God. It's a beautiful thing. It's changed my life. And so I want to encourage you, if you've never prayed in tongues, I'm going to open it up, and Pete, you can come up here as well. If you have, you're free to go downstairs. There are donuts. Kevin picked up Krispy Kreme. And there's also some yummy cookies from Leftover. And as my son says, tomatoes. There's some tomatoes down there as well, for some health. So, Father, we thank you for this time.